more of the word, definitely, constantly on the pastor's book. Both of us are constantly on the pastor's book and applying it, because the application for healing is for everything. I mean, it applies everywhere, and so I was doing that. And then, of course, I'm curious to know who John G. Lake is, so we're in that and looking at Curry's, I've forgotten his last name, Curry's, which is speaking the word. So we've been into that. And so what was happening was, is this, is we were, the inspired word was starting to activate in me. I had the talent, but it just wasn't, you know, motivating me to do anything. And so I had to be willing to do the uncomfortable, you know, be here and to be in it, in order to get comfortable at getting to the next level. That's really what it came down to, because, and then I'm thinking about how many missed opportunities did I have? I mean, really, it was just simply natural for me to lean over the counter. I mean, I didn't have to calculate anything. The word just moved, you know, and poured out. And it probably was better than if I'd have done it in my own steam, because I'd have botched it up. It was the Spirit moving out of me that, with power to get a result. And so I could go on, but I don't want to do that.
That's okay.
But that's,
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
See, the really the thing that triggered that is that he responded to what was going on without thinking about it. Because if you start thinking about it, what you do is start to find all the excuses why you shouldn't be doing it. Right? See, that's the component of the fear, the component of, you know, rejection and everything else. See, and that's what stopped the Holy Spirit to be able to do the things that actually can't do through you. So you had to get out of the way. Anyway, but that's actually comes naturally when we are filled with the Word. When the Word inside us start to take preeminence in our thinking and our doing, then we end up doing these things naturally, and it's not that they are trying to work it out. And we understand how to fight the resistance that is naturally there, that guess who is coming from, where it's coming from. So I don't need to. All right. Praise the Lord. It's time to start in the Word, yeah. We have been in the Word already anyway, because that's what the Word says for us to do. So I want to just go back to one of the scriptures that we read last week. You see, I made a statement last week that may appear strange, but you know what I said is that even born again believers do not see, do not understand, do not know Jesus well enough. They know about Jesus, they have read the scriptures, but really, there is, if they would know Jesus the way he is, they will be acting like idiots. That's what the word says. So evidently there is a growth that has to take place. There is a transformation that has to happen for us to be able to appropriate and to start living in on the outside what is already available to us in the inside. Okay? There are things entering it. And you know, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God." This is present tense. Amen? So if it's present tense, that should be our experience. Now, the fact is that, you know, really, how many they really feel like sons of God is really another story. I mean, what we generally feel is all the limitations and all the shortcomings and all the problems that we have manifested in our lives, so that actually we really don't feel like the sons of God, but we feel like grasshoppers. That's the problem. You see, that's what the problem was with the Jews. God said, you know, go ahead and go and take them. And, you know, most of the spies that were sent there, they said, oh, they are like just, we are just like grasshopper and they're just like giants. See, your problems are giants, and you, what really got inside you that actually is greater one that is in the world, and but you just don't realize that. So you allow the other, the perception, and perception is a very important thing. We talked about perception already for the last 2 weeks. You know, perception is what we really believe about the things around us, which is really not necessarily true. Okay, so we had to start regulating our perception to be able to operate the right way. And we had to regulate our perception by going back to the Word of God and see if that matches or not with what the Word of God says about us. Anyway, so now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So you see, the first thing that has to happen is that we start understanding, we should you start to get revelation about Jesus. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, it's talking about the fact that, you know, we had to get the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. What's the knowledge of Him is about? It's really understanding, having revelation about Jesus, who Jesus is, how Jesus operated, and what is the, you know, and what He understood and what He and where He operated. You see, His understanding enabled Him to do the things that were called to do. Okay, it says that He grew in knowledge and wisdom. So He was in the Word all the time. He became the Word made flesh. You see, that's what has to happen with us. When we start feeding on the Word to the point that that becomes the essential part of our thinking and determining our perception of reality, then things change. When you believe truly, I mean, all things are, everybody could quote there, and all things are possible with God, but, you know, not the things that they had to struggle with. Hello, this is something, there is, you know, there is a break there. All things, including the things that, you know, have to happen in your life that from the worldly point of view are impossible. There is no disease that is incurable. Because with God, all things are possible, so don't use those terms. Nothing too big for God to change. The very moment when you accept those words, then you're going to be bound by them. Because that's going to reflect your belief system. And it's going to reflect the way your faith can operate. See, your faith is just what you believe, anyway. Now, we have to understand how to, that we have control over that, too. Now, says there, you know, continue, it doesn't stop there. But every man, so we shall see him, and so, you know, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. So we have to get to the place and we can see him, not according to the religious glasses that we have been receiving for 2,000 years, but according to what the Bible says, because the Bible says the truth. Men's interpretations are another thing. Now, it says, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself. That includes the women too. Even as he is pure. You see, we should look at ourselves and start seeing the difference between ourselves and Jesus. And start cutting off all the stuff that doesn't line up with him. In any area. Now, you know, to be able to see the difference, you have to know what you compare yourself with. So the Word has to be the basis of the thing, and there is the thing you have to respond to. This is where you know, our ability to take a position against anything that is not of God, that we are exposed to. And, you know, the world is full of that junk. The world is a mess. And he is bombarding us with all these images and ideas and thinking, a way of looking at things that are actually ungodly. Okay? So those things, you see, things we are exposed to have an effect on us. Okay? If you like it or not, even if you say, well, you know, I don't agree with this, but, you know, if you are exposed enough time, first one, you start ignoring it and maybe even bothering you. You know, take somebody that swears all the time and you come in contact with, and you have to be in contact with this person because maybe he works at the same place than you do. Okay? And so you see him all the time. And out of his mouth come out always these words that really, you as a believer, just turn your stomach off. Okay? But after a while, you hear them all the time, you get used to it. After a while, it doesn't turn your stomach off anymore. After a while, you start even accepting him. Oh, he has a good qualities anyway. His qualities don't make any difference. It's flesh. And so after a while, you know, you started to find out that sometime, you know, where something happened, and you, you react the same way as this person does because it's been implanted inside you. And, you know, you bump against something, and instead of say, praise the Lord, you say something else. Hello? Until you say it inside, because at the beginning, you say, oh, what did I do? But after a while, you get so used to saying it inside that you end up coming out from out of your mouth. And you just, you know, that's the way it works for everything else. You can't be exposed to things and not fight those things and expect that you are going to be not influenced by this stuff. Same thing, you know, about, you know, people telling you, you know, maybe that your you know, sickness with you have or something, you know, is incurable and you cannot do anything, oh, poor little you and everything else, and you're put into that mood that is going to be just destroying any beliefs for these things is going to go. You have to protect yourself. Proverbs chapter 4, protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. I mean, that's where your life comes from. And if you are not protecting it, you are allowing the enemy to, by osmosis, to get inside you and work on you. And the world around us is full of the works of the flesh, not the works of the Spirit. So to counteract that, you have to take action. It's not that you can be passive. See, many Christians think that they get to be nice and passive. Passivity brings defeat, period. You cannot win a battle without fighting. You cannot overcome the enemy, just let him do something and says, oh, you know, God is going to take care of me. Nonsense. Doesn't happen that way. You have to fight a battle to be able to overcome. And to fight the battle, you have to know what you are fighting and how to fight it. Praise the Lord. So you have to take positions. See, the kingdom is taken by force, not by weakness. And you have to understand that if you want to break into the kingdom, and this is what we are talking about, you have to be violent. Jesus wasn't a sissy, you know, wasn't there just trying to... He took the whip when it was the case it was needed. Okay? And ran after them. I mean, they thought it was crazy. All right? Why? Because that was something that was needed. Well, we had to do the same with the things we are exposed to. See, in the Old Testament, that was reflected in all the enemy, all the other nations had to be fought and killed. Well, the New Testament doesn't tell us to go around and kill them. We have to love our enemies. Okay? But that doesn't mean that we sup with them or we have, you know, we spend time with them and fellowship with them. Because otherwise we're going to go under with them. There's no way. So we had to have exercise. You know, we had to get tough to overcome. Hello? Are you still there? All right. You see, and that, first of all, you know, to counteract this has to be the Word. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, it says that he may sanctify you and cleanse, it talks about in the church and whatever, with the washing of water of the Word. So you see, we are not talking about, you know, theoretical type of thing. You know, the washing of water of the Word implies that the Word has an effect on our outside. The washing is, you know, doesn't wash just our mind, it washes our behavior, it washes our the way we look at things, it washes what we do and say, what we spend time doing, who we are with. Okay. Ephesians 5:26. Okay. See, one of the things that the dog is going to do is not going to be automatic. It's going to be the result of the Word in us pointing out the things that need to be cleansed. Because after, you see, that then the cleansing happens as we take action on the Word. You know, and this is in 1 John 1:9, it says very clearly, if we confess our sins, you know, our sins, what are sins? Our sins is the things that we do against the Word of God. As soon as the Word of God points it out to us, we have to take some action. And we have to acknowledge them. That's the confession component. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us for all unrighteousness. You see, but there has to be that position of repentance, that position of change that we want to implement in our life. Okay, and that applies, you know, we think sin is just some stuff that, you know, is maybe, I don't know, fornication. But that's part of it. But it's not the only thing. Anything that you think that is against what God says is sin. And you have to deal with it if you want to get free. It doesn't, you don't get free automatically. You have to acknowledge, no, this is, doesn't line up. You know, all things, you know, can be acceptable, but not all things are profitable. And if you really want mean business with God, if you want to get the result, if you want to start walking in the kingdom, if you want to start experiencing the power of God in your life, you have to take some action. You have to take some position. You have to make a stand there for yourself. So, it's very important that we receive what says in Ephesians, you know, the spirit of wisdom and revelation on the knowledge of him. You see, it's that what makes all the difference in us. This is what produces the result. We have to understand him and understand what he understood. Because then it's not a question of hitting and missing. It's a question of this is it, and that's going to happen. The word is true, and God is faithful to his word. And you can depend on it 100% of the time. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. But you see, you get to the place in which you are stable in that position. I don't know anymore if that watch. Is that watch fixed and working now? Yeah? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I have some more time. Never enough time. Praise the Lord. We had to ask to stop the sun. All right. So are you following me? This is so important for us to understand. You know, the understanding, you know, all the apostles and so on says, you know, Lord, show us the Father. We had to see the Father. We had to understand the Father. We had to, you know, see in Jesus, you know, what the Father is like, because this is the way that we had to operate the same way, exactly the same way. Not a question of guessing, not a question of not knowing. We should know the will of God without thinking. Sometimes the more we think and the less we know it, because our theology comes into the picture. Okay? When we forget about ourselves, you see that we have to remove the layers of ourselves, die to self, die to our own thinking, die to our own indoctrination, die even to, you know, the things we've been exposed to even in Christianity, to be able to become the people that God wants us to be. He wants us to be in a place in which we can operate the way Jesus did. And when we start doing that, the first one that are going to come out against us are Christians, because they have indoctrinated in the wrong way. All right. See, this is you know, if you go in John chapter 14, when Versadio and Philos shows us the Father, he says, you know, you have been with you, you know, for I've been with you for such a long time, and yet you have not known me. You see, the not known is not just a question of knowing, to know the person or knowing the way he looks. You know, it's to really understand. It's gnosko that actually is experiential knowledge. So the understanding, discerning, perceiving, knowing a certain person beyond the appearance outside. You know? And who has seen me, and not just with your eyes, their eyes, but, you know, perceiving them in the spirit, has seen the Father. And how do you say, I do not know the Father? See, but you do not believe that I am in the Father. See, the word there, believe, is pisteo, that actually is the same as pistis, it was the same as faith, which is actually the same as believe. Believing, you know, in that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The word that I speak to you, they are not, I do not speak on myself, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the works. You know, when you start coming into that dimension, you could say the same thing. You should say the same thing. Because the word is starting to take over your thinking. And when the word starts thinking, you express not your own thought, but God's thoughts. So your words are God's words. You don't need to be in prophetic state. You do not need to operate in the gifts even. It's the word in you that is taking predominance over all the other thinking operation that you have in your brain. It's your spirit that comes out, because your spirit is starting to be in the place it should be in your life. You see, you start to actually manifest the sonship. And this is not something spooky or something that, you know, you need to be special. No, it's for every believer. Every believer is called to experience this. Because this is the, you know, it's not that there are some special people. And this is one of the problems with much of the belief that, you know, you have to be special to have certain manifestations in your life. These manifestations are for everybody, for every believer, because we are all called to the same thing, to become like him. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? See, this is the exciting, you know, there is nothing more exciting than the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. You know, most of the people stops at the gospel of salvation. You know, you just, and that's great, that's a place to start. But no, that's not the place to stay. So you have to get to the place in which, you know, Jesus didn't talk. I mean, he could not preach the gospel of salvation, really. Because he couldn't, you know, even when he tried to talk about that, nobody understood him, because they didn't believe that he was going to be crucified and everything. They didn't understand all that part. But he preached the gospel of the kingdom. That was his message. And the way to demonstrate his kingdom is going around healing people, raising the dead, and, you know, and getting things done on the physical. See, that's the way the kingdom is manifested. That's the way we should preach the gospel. When you do that, and people see the kingdom in a reality, either they hate you and they want to kill you the way they did to Jesus, or they come along. And it's part of the game. You know, we shouldn't complain about being ostracized, about being rejected. You know, when that happens, the glory of the Lord is upon us. Amen. That's what Peter says. And so we have to, instead of being afraid of that, we should be energized by that. We should be empowered. Because say, praise God, God, the Holy Spirit is working through me. If nobody opposes you, there is a problem. And that's okay. Let them. And see who wins at the end, who wins at the end. Amen? Hallelujah. See, but it doesn't stop. I mean, this you know, there is in John, actually, is the gospel in which this is more even explained better. Even before Paul talked about it, because Paul is the one who has expounded and made it clearer. But John always already talking. The scripture I was reading up to you now, you know, is actually a announcement of what was going to go explained later on by Paul. And actually, he really, you know, the Gospel of John was probably written after the letter of Paul. And that's why he could give us an account for Jesus talking in a way that he understood, because, you know, he already got the message himself, finally, because before they didn't get it. All right? And he says, you know, believe that the Father is in me and I'm the Father, or else also that believe me for the works in myself. You see, the works are important. That's what, you know, is a manifestation of the kingdom. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. A greater works than this shall he do, because I go to my Father. Hallelujah. See, that's the expectation we should have. I mean, if he said to that, this, either we believe him or we just discount what Jesus said. Said, well, you know, this was exaggerating. Well, exaggeration is a lie. So if he said it, we should expect it. And before we go to see it manifested, we should expect it and start believing it and start accepting it. And then we are going to be able to move into that dimension. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For whatever you ask in my name. You see, let me finish this verse. That I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. See, that we ask in his name. We ask as his representative. We ask in his place. That's what it means. It's not a formula. It's the fact that we know that because we line up with him, because we are in him, the way Paul says later on. You see, then we can ask in his name. Otherwise, it's just a formula. It doesn't mean anything. And so as his representative, and he will do it, and he's do his way, you know, we just become the channel of Jesus working through us, ministering life the way he did before. But now he's sitting on the throne, and he's using us as the means by which he delivers his ministry. And that what essentially... We are just the channel. We are not, is not us doing it. We are doing nothing else than making ourselves available to bring through us the power of God working the work in Jesus, which was the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the same Holy Spirit that was that raised Jesus from the dead. I mean, if we even understand, you know, that scripture is in us. The same Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Is to grasp that is almost too much. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead works in you today to minister life to those you come in contact with. Not just to your body. I mean, yeah, your body is fine. I mean, if that's inside you, your body is to be fixed. What else could it be? You can bring it on others. I mean, give and shall be given. That's why I'm saying you want to get healed. If you need healing, start ministering healing. Praise the Lord. I think that the clock's telling me that I reached the time to stop. Too bad. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm just scratching the surface. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, if you ask anything in my name, anything, evidently not things that are not in agreement with him. You see, it's in his name. So we don't have to worry about the ask anything. In his name should be something that he would ask. All right? I will do it. This is the expectation that we should have, not something that maybe is going to happen. You see, the doubt should be eliminated from our thinking, from our mind, from inside our heart. We should know that we are not the important issue here. We are just channel at the moment, and he's the one that cares about that thing to happen because it's what he wants. And just because we are open and used by him, we want the same thing that he wants. Amen? Okay, let's close in prayer. Actually, let's make a confession. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you made available to us. Lord, we believe. We believe that Jesus was in the Father. And the Father was in him. And we are in Jesus. So if we are in Jesus, Jesus is in us. And the Father is in us. And as we open ourselves up to you and allow you and your word to guide us in what we do, think, the way we operate, Lord, we can ask anything in your name and it'll be done. And I can do greater things even than Jesus did because he said so. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And amen. God bless you.